and you can make it up.
I have no idea.
What do you think the angel said to Mary when he told her that she was going to have a baby?
Don't be afraid, you're having the son of Jesus.
And did the angel tell Joseph?
Yes.
What did the angel say to Joseph?
I don't know.
No? What do you think the angel said to Joseph?
Take care of Mary.
Take care of Mary?
That Mary's gonna have a baby.
Okay. And how did Joseph respond? What did he say?
I don't know. Whoa. Okay.
All right. And what city did Mary and Joseph have to go to?
Bethlehem.
All right. And how did they get to Bethlehem?
Riding on a donkey.
Riding on a donkey. Was the donkey fast or was it slow?
Slow.
Really slow or really, really slow?
Really, really slow.
Really, really slow. Okay. Did anything happen on the way to Bethlehem?
Wait, no.
No? Uneventful trip? Nothing happened?
Okay. Wait, no. Never mind.
Where did they go once they got to Bethlehem?
Ooh.
What do you think?
They went to somebody's house and they had a barn and they put the baby in something like a food carriage for animals.
Okay. What did they ask the person when they got there?
If they could stay in it. If they could stay in their house.
And what did they say?
Oh, no.
I know this one.
And they said no.
They said no. Why did they say no?
Because their house was already filled with people. Oh, no, it wasn't that. They didn't have enough beds for them.
Okay. So, Mary and Joseph stayed in a barn?
Yes.
All right. Tell me about the barn, Justin.
It had animals in it. It had hay, and the baby was Jesus, and they were giving it him stuff.
Okay. Who was giving him stuff?
The three wise men.
The three wise men? And what did they give him? What's one of the things they gave him?
Gold. Treasure box.
Treasure box?
Gold and oil.
Gold and oil?
Money.
Money? What else? What do you think? They give him anything else? What do you think they said to Mary and Joseph when they gave them the presents?
Thank you.
You think while they were giving them the presents, they said thank you?
I don't know.
What did they say to him as they were giving the presents? What do you think?
This would be easy for Mary and Joseph. They could be like, oh, I know this because it was for me.
Do you think they were like, okay, here's some presents, bye. What do you think they said?
No. Oh. I think they said, we're going to worship you or something.
I know. They said, like, I'll stay here and I'll protect, like, Jesus.
Okay. And is that the end of the story, or were maybe there some shepherds around?
Shepherds. There were shepherds.
And what were the shepherds doing?
Taking care of the sheep that they brought.
Taking care of the sheep. And then what happened?
Jesus was born.
Jesus was born. But did someone appear to the shepherds?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah? Who appeared to the shepherds?
The angel.
Angels? What do you think the angels said to the shepherds? guesses of what the angels might have said to the shepherds?
Take care of the shepherds and sometime go to maybe Jesus.
Take care of this baby Mary.
So did the shepherds go and see baby Jesus?
Yes.
And what did the shepherds say when they came and saw him?
I'll worship you.
Alright. Yeah. Do you think Mary and Joseph said anything to them? What do you think Mary and Joseph said to the shepherds? Do you think they were like, wow, thank you.
I think they said, stay and then you can worship him.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I'm trying to think of anything else here.
Can I have the microphone?
No, you can't hold the microphone.
You can scream in it.
Was there anyone else around in the Christmas story? Was there any other characters? Nope, that was everyone?
There were animals.
There were animals? What kind of animals?
Camels, sheep, and donkeys.
Camels, sheep, and donkeys?
Cows, donkeys, sheep.
A camel, probably a pig.
Right. Let's see here. What do you think was baby Jesus quiet or was he loud when he was born? What do you think?
Quiet.
Quiet? Did he just lay there all asleep? How was he dressed? How did Mary dress him?
She had a wrap that was white and were blue, and she wrapped him up.
Okay, what do you think?
Same thing as Sam.
How do you think? Your brain is not working right now? Okay. Well, let's try one more, and we'll be done, okay? So Mary and Joseph, they come down. Sorry, I'm thinking through. Is this hard?
Yeah.
Nah. Do you guys remember the Christmas story pretty well?
No.
Sort of.
Not at all.
No, not at all. Guys, I think that's all I have for you.
So we're gonna go back upstairs.
I think so. You guys did an excellent job.
That they're going to be at a stable.
Okay. And how did Mary respond? You can take a guess. It's okay. Just whatever you think. Did she say, oh, wow, that's crazy?
No.
What did she say?
I think she said okay.
And who told Joseph that Mary was going to have a baby? Was it the same angel?
No, it was a bunch of angels.
A bunch of angels? And what What did they say to Joseph?
To go to the stable.
To go to the stable. And so did Mary and Joseph go to the stable? All right. And how did they get there?
They walked.
They walked. Did they have any animals with them?
No.
No. Okay. So they walked to the stable in Bethlehem, right?
Right.
And did they come to an inn? A hotel?
A stable.
A stable. Was there anyone at the stable?
There was.
Who was there?
Mary and Joseph.
Mary and Joseph were at the stable. And were there any animals in the stable?
Yes.
What kind of animals were in there?
A dog.
Dog? What else?
A camel. A cat. I just can't think of any more animals.
Okay. And what happened at the stable?
There was a baby.
Okay. And how was the baby dressed?
In swaddling clothes.
What is a swaddling clothes? Do you know? Okay. How about the shepherds? Were there shepherds nearby?
Yes.
And who appeared to the shepherds?
A bunch of angels. They were scared. And the angels said, don't be afraid. And
were the shepherds still afraid?
No.
What did the angels tell the shepherds to do?
Go to the stable.
And did they?
Yes.
And what did they do when they got to the stable?
Yes.
What did they say?
You're gonna have a baby soon.
Was baby Jesus already born?
No.
What about the wise men? Were there any wise men nearby?
Three of them? Yes.
Yeah? Did they bring gifts to Jesus?
No.
No gifts?
Yeah. Because Miss Moore said the wise men didn't give any gifts.
Why didn't you think they gave any gifts?
Because
no reason, just because?
Yes.
So no gifts for baby Jesus this year, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know any of the Bible verses?
Yeah.
What, can you tell me one of them?
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his own.
God didn't send that whosoever believes him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Good job, buddy. Thank you so much. That's all I needed from you.
Man, what a tremendous song. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Today will be a message on the promise to Mary. And then the next two Sundays, I plan on preaching a two-part series out of Luke chapter 2 on the Christmas story. So really never have taken the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2 and pieced it into two parts and preached it verse by verse. And that's my intention next couple of weeks. And so I hope that you'll plan to be here, be a part of that. And of course, on the following Sunday, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday, is Christmas Day. It falls on a Sunday, which is unusual. Well, we know it happens, you know, whatever, seven times. Anyway, it happens. But we're having no Sunday school that morning, just having church that morning at 11 o'clock. And I hope that you'll make plans to be here, be a part of the service that morning. Luke chapter 1, look with me, if you would, in verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessing it is to be in your house today with our church family. And God, I just pray that you would be with the message, Lord, that we would again see the importance of your promises, especially the promise here given to Mary. Lord, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's nothing greater than the promises of God. Understand and know that we are given promises, and the promises that are given to us by God in the Bible are true. In fact, he says in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews and the book of Titus, that God cannot lie. Aren't you thankful for that? We serve a God who cannot lie. He promises things to us, and here he's promising Mary something. I don't know about you, but there's been times in which things have been promised to me and that did not come to fruition. Anybody ever had that happen? And so with others, there's no guarantee, and I'll cover that more in a little bit. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? I do. Absolutely know and understand, not only from a faith perspective, but just seeing what God has done throughout creation, throughout the universe, seeing his mighty hand, handy work, and we know that God is all-powerful. He can do anything. Yes, he can make a rock he can't pick up. He can still pick it up. God can do anything. God can do anything. And God gave Mary here a promise, a promise. We as Christians must understand and believe and trust in the Lord. And we must keep and understand that he keeps his promises. When I think of the promises of God, I think about Abraham. And I'm going to turn there real quick and you can as well if you would like to. In Romans chapter 4, we see here a promise is reiterated that was given to Abraham. Abraham was promised in Genesis chapter 12 that God would multiply his seed, that God would give him a family as big as the stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore, and that God would give him all the soil, all the land that he walked upon would be his. It's called the Abrahamic covenant. And that promise was given to Abraham that he would have a child. And it says there in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, Romans chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "He that is Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded," that's faith, "that what he," that is God, "had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him," to Abraham, "for righteousness." For righteousness. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised to him, that God was able to perform it. And though Abraham had grown old, and though the promise of God had grown and with time as well, he understood that God would fulfill his promise. And God did fulfill his promise to Abraham and gave him Isaac and gave them a son in their old age, him and Sarah in their old age, gave them Isaac. God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. And though it may seem impossible, Abraham was and Sarah were past the age of being able to have children, but with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. And Sarah, in her old age, had a baby. Mary had great faith. She asked the question, "How can this thing be? This promise you're giving me, this promise of having a child, how can this be, seeing that I know not a man?" But the Bible says she believed. She believed the promise that God had given her. This morning, we must understand that God's promises must be received, and they must be received by faith. Faith in the Lord. Faith in God, because again, with him, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. A few things we see here in the promises to Mary. Number one, we see the timing of the promise. God's timing. God's timing. It says, "In the sixth month that the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin." God's timing. By the way, God is never early and he's never late. I'm going to cough. I appreciate those who prayed for me. This is the never-ending Larry. Larry number one, Larry number two. That's the name of my cough. And now installment number three, Larry the third. Maybe he's a junior, Larry the third junior. He just keeps on hanging on. God's promise to Mary. Mary was given a promise, and God keeps his promises. Mary had never known a man. She was a virgin. She said, "How can this thing be?" But she pondered these things in her heart. She kept these things in her heart. She accepted these things in her heart, and she believed in the promise that God had given. Now, this promise was given in a timing in which God had put together. In fact, we know from 1 Peter chapter 1, that before the world began, God had sent, and God would send the promise of his son, the precious son of God who would die, who would be buried, and would rise again from the dead. This promise was given to Mary. It was God's timing. God is the great consummator. God never is surprised. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Nothing occurs to God. When Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, God didn't go, "Oops, I didn't see that coming." No, God knew. God knew that Adam would sin. God knew that Adam would fall. And God had made a way. And therefore, he made for them coats of skin. He sacrificed a sacrifice for them and covered them. And throughout the Old Testament, we see these coverings and we see the sacrifices that are made, all pre-picturing the coming Messiah, the Lamb who would come, the promise of the Messiah, the promise of one who would remedy mankind's fallen condition. And this flourishing of this promise was cultivated, consummated, in Mary. The promise given to Mary. In the fullness of time, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. God is the great consummator. God always fulfills his plan. Again, nothing occurs to God. Nothing surprises him. God always fulfills his plan. God's plan was put in place in eternity past, and here consummated or cultivated into the promise that was given to Mary that she would have a son. His name would be Jesus. His name would be the Son of God. God's timing. By the way, God, again, is never early. He's never late. God is always on time. You say, well, man, I wished. It doesn't matter what you wish. God's never late. He's never early. No matter what comes into your life, no matter what occurs in my life, God has a plan. God has a plan. God has a purpose in your life for whatever circumstances you may be facing. It's been said that God always has his hand on the thermostat. God always has his hand on the thermostat of your life. And he will never put you through, according to Corinthians, more than you can handle. And God, again, had given this great and wonderful promise to Mary. The timing of the promise. Also, it's, again, the timing. We see the place in the small city of Nazareth. Matthew chapter 2, verse 23, we see the fulfillment of prophecy. It says, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, and he shall be called a Nazarene. By the way, he wasn't a Nazarite. And I mention this every year, and sometimes I get emails, but you can send them to me, and I'll send you some information. But Jesus Christ was not a Nazarite. In other words, he didn't have a Nazarite vow, and therefore he didn't have long hair. And at this time in the custom of Jews, Jesus Christ would have had normal length hair. And so he was not a Nazarite. Samson was a Nazarite, and therefore was not to cut his hair. Jesus Christ was a Nazarene from Nazareth, not a Nazarite. Everybody with me? All right, so this custom or this tradition that Jesus Christ had long hair is just that. It's a tradition. And I remind you, the New Testament says that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So I kind of have an issue with a proclamation. The New Testament says it's a sin for a man to have long hair if Jesus Christ himself would have had long hair. So he would have had a little bit of a wampicus, a little bit of a, you know, yeah. It's tradition, it's custom of having a picture of Jesus with long hair. I will get off of that soapbox and back to our originally planned program. Jesus Christ was a Nazarene. He was from Nazareth. So not only was the time allotted and promised, but the place in which he would not only be born, of course we know that from Micah, they'd be born in Bethlehem, but the place in which he would live in Nazareth, this little town. If you remember some of you remember when Dr. Henderson was here, and Dr. Henderson preached a great message on Christmas one time, and he preached a message, he called it, From the Ghetto to Golgotha. Y'all remember that? Some of you may or may not. And Dr. Henderson, he preached that Nazareth was the ghetto, and that is true. Historically speaking, Nazareth was considered the ghetto. It was a small town. It was a nothing town. It was a town that had not the greatest reputation in the world. In fact, if you remember, somebody said there in the scriptures, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, that's the reputation Nazareth has. It's kind of like Springtown. The Clarks aren't here. They had a funeral, so I figure I'd pick on Brother Clark since he's not here. Maybe he's listening. But, you know, the town had a very poor reputation. The town, again, a small town. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? The answer is absolutely yes. Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. I'm thankful God has no respect their persons, aren't you? God can use anyone. God used a young lady who was available, a woman, a lady from a small town, from the ghetto. Then we see a prepared young lady in verse 27. It says, the virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. A virgin. one who was pure and chaste, a vessel prepared, espoused. This means, of course, engaged. But in their custom, it was more than just an engagement. It was a one-year commitment before they actually performed the wedding ceremony. During this one-year commitment prior to the wedding ceremony, if one was caught in adultery, if one was caught with another man or vice versa, that they would be stoned. So the commitment was more than just, as we would think of a fiancé, it was more than that. It was more of a more than a commitment of just fiancé. It was a commitment by her, by Mary, to her virginity. And the Bible says here she was highly favored. By the way, highly favored does not mean perfect. No way does the Bible indicate that Mary was perfect. She was a sinner. She was a sinner. She was had a selfish nature just like everybody else. But certainly one who was, the Bible describes as highly favored. In other words, a life prepared for the Lord. A life prepared for the Lord. A life usable. A life worthy. A life meet for the Master's use. A vessel of honor, if you would. A vessel meet for the Master's use. All of us should be available for the Master's use. All of us should be usable. All of us as Christians, should be worthy to be used of God. Hello? Mary, highly favored, committed. The timing of the promise. The second thing we see here is the message of the promise. We see first off a message of purity. Again, we see this repeated throughout here two or three times, but verse 34 says, "And Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" This is very important that we understand. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, prophesied that the virgin should conceive and bear a son. Mary was a virgin. Mary was a virgin. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, I quoted a moment ago, made of a woman, not made of a man. Made without a man. The Bible says the Holy Ghost would overshadow her. In other words, the birth of Jesus Christ was the birth of a virgin. A birth that was miraculous. It was a birth that was supernatural. It was more than just an ordinary birth. It was a God thing. God did it. Amen? The virgin birth is important in our faith. In order for Jesus Christ to die and be buried and rise again, I'm going to cough again, sorry. For Jesus Christ to be our sacrifice, in order for Jesus Christ to pay the price for my sins, he must be perfect. He must be sinless. He was born of a virgin in order that he might be born sinless. He was born without a sinful nature. The Bible makes it very clear that through the dad or through the male comes this sinful nature. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all of sin. Jesus Christ, because he did not have an earthly dad, received no sinful nature when he was born into this world. He was born the spotless Lamb of God. He was born pure. He was born holy. He was born of a virgin. If he was not born of a virgin, we would have no Savior. Period. End. If he was not born of a virgin, you and I could not have salvation. We could not be saved. The virgin birth is a fundamental of the faith. The virgin birth is a fundamental of our faith. The virgin birth is a fundamental of the Christian faith. The virgin birth is a fundamental of the Bible. In basketball, there are fundamentals you learn. The bounce pass and all those things you learn. You learn the fundamentals first. I played basketball in the seventh grade. And that's it. I was not a good basketball player. I was vertically challenged. They put those little Some of y'all remember from junior high, they put those little glasses on you that had the little lip on the bottom like this so you couldn't look down and watch yourself dribble? Any of y'all have to wear those glasses? Really? Okay, a couple of you shaking your head. All right. Some of y'all can testify wearing those little glass things. Yeah, learning the fundamentals, learning not to look at the ball when you bounce it and all those things. Fundamentals of basketball, fundamentals of football, fundamentals. Listen, there are fundamentals to the faith. We think about a car. A car, in order for it to run, an engine must have gas. It must have something to ignite, something to push it forward. It must have a spark. It must have something to ignite the gas, and then it must have air, right? So three things your dad taught you when you're working on a lawnmower. No. I still couldn't get it to start. Dad comes home. Boop, it starts. None of y'all had that happen to y'all. Dad, I can't get the lawnmower to start. He comes home from work. He starts it in like 2 seconds. But you got to have three things in order for a combustion engine to produce, to go. Those are fundamental. Without those, you can't. An engine will not run. In the Christian faith, there are fundamentals of faith. Number one is the virgin birth. Without the virgin birth, there is no hope. We are lost in our sin. We are undone and on our way to hell. It's fundamental. You can't have salvation without the virgin birth. Number two is the verbal inspiration of the Word of God. Is the Bible true? It's fundamental to the faith. The Bible must be true. And I'm thankful that it is, aren't you? Amen? Then we have the vicarious death and suffering of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and He died for us. He died in our place. He paid the penalty for our sins. He took our sin debt on the cross, and there He shed His blood on Calvary in order that our sins might be forgiven, in order that our sins might be put under the blood of Jesus Christ. He died in our place. The vicarious death and suffering of Jesus Christ. He suffered for me. He suffered for you. He suffered for our sins. And then we have the victorious resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation either. If He didn't rise from the dead, we have no hope. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul makes that very clear. He writes a whole chapter on it. If Christ has not been risen, then our labor is in vain. If Christ be not risen, then our hope is in vain. If Christ be not risen, then our sermons, our messages are in vain. But I'm here to tell you, He did rise from the dead. He rose victoriously from the dead. And fundamentally, it's one of our fundamentals of the Christian faith. I'm so glad Jesus Christ is risen. The last one is the visible return of Jesus Christ. One day He will return. No doubt. It's just a matter of time. That blessed hope of His appearing. Mary promised. Mary promised a son. Mary, the virgin, promised a son who would be the Savior. It's a message of salvation. He says His name shall be Jesus. The name Jesus means Savior. By the way, there were others in that day whose name was Jesus. Jesus was a common name, but Jesus Christ was no common man. He lived a perfect life. He lived a sinless life. And then there was a message of victory. I love verse 32 and verse 33. We don't have time to go into it, but it says, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Can I tell you, one day He will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Victorious, and He will reign of the house of David. He'll reign from Jerusalem. He'll reign on the throne of David forever and ever and ever and ever. The Bible says of His reign there will be no end. And then lastly, we see the great miracle, the basis or the foundation of the great miracle. She says, how can this thing be, seeing I know not a man, verse 34, and the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. Mary needed to hear verse 37. Maybe you do this morning. Maybe you need to hear verse 37 this morning. God's promised us as Christians many things. We took several weeks about 4 or 5 years ago and preached on the promises of God. I preached a series of messages about 15 different messages on the promises of God. I'm thankful for the promises of God. God never, ever, ever breaks a promise. I love the promise that He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Don't you love that promise? Do you believe that promise? Maybe you need to hear verse 37, nothing's impossible with God. Maybe something in your life today you think seemingly impossible. Can I tell you, nothing's impossible for God. Nothing is too big for God to overcome. Nothing's too great. There's no mountain too big God can't overcome it. There's nothing in your life, whether it be relational, maybe it's a son, maybe it's a daughter you're having problems with, maybe it's a job situation, and boy, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in the job issues today. Maybe there's something going on there. Can I tell you, nothing's impossible with God. Maybe it's a health situation. Whatever it may be, can I tell you, God's promised to never fail you. He's promised to never let you down. He's always there by your side. Maybe you need to hear that again. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary, doesn't matter that you're a virgin. The Holy Ghost will overshadow you. The thing that is wrought in you, the thing that's about to happen to you, is of the Holy Ghost. It's of God. Because nothing is impossible with God. Can I tell you this morning, Christian? Nothing. Nothing with God is impossible. Mary promised this wonderful promise. Can I tell you, God kept His promise? By the way, she said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, here's your handmaid. Lord, I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to thy will, she said. What did she say? Be it unto thee according to, not my will, but thy will. Sometimes we have a problem with how God deals with our problems. Sometimes we think it should be this way when God does it a different way. I'll never forget over the years how many times my wife will testify to this, that the church has been in a financial need. And I said, well, I know this person or this person or this person could take care of that. And it's amazing to me how over the years it's been someone I didn't even, not even cross my mind. In fact, we've had visitors sometimes who have given certain amounts of money that made up a shortfall that we may have had as a church, and just out of the blue. It's amazing how God does things so much different than we may think. Can I tell you? With God, nothing is impossible. All you have to do is say, Lord, here I am. Be it according to thy will, Lord. Yield to Him. How do you do that? Well, it's by putting your faith in Him, by trusting Him. Do you trust Him? Well, if you trust Him, then you'll trust Him with whatever the outcome is. Lord, according to thy will. Lord, I'm just your servant. Lord, I'm just your handmaid. Lord, whatever you would have me to do. And God used Mary in a wonderful, wonderful way. God does miracles through surrendered lives. Do you believe that? I do. I believe if you'll simply surrender to His will, God will use you in a great way. And God will come through for you. God will make a way where there is no way, because nothing's impossible for Him. Church, can I remind you too, a surrendered church, God uses a surrendered church. God works through a surrendered church. A church that says, Lord, not what you want, but Lord, not what I want, but Lord, whatever you want. And God will use that. What a wonderful promise God gave to Mary. In the next couple of Sundays, we're going to see that promise fulfilled. And I hope that you'll be here the next couple of Sundays. We see the angel of the Lord announce the coming of the Messiah. Announce to those shepherds. And as we see the baby Jesus born there in that little town of Bethlehem, born to die that we might live. What a great and wonderful promise. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a verse of invitation, hymn 155, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. What a wonderful promise. Can I remind you this morning that God's given us wonderful promises, and God always keeps His promise, and without God, and nothing's impossible with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your precious promises. We thank you for the precious promise that you give to Mary of the Savior, of Jesus. We thank you for him coming and living and dying that we might have eternal life. Lord, I pray that there's someone here this morning who's never accepted you as Savior. Lord, they might trust you as their only means of salvation. And Lord, may we as Christians put our confidence in you and your wonderful and precious promises. In Jesus' name, amen.